Okay, sorry for a little bit of a technical delay there, but we're ready to call to order the Thursday, June 21st, 2018 regular meeting of the Marysville Board of Education. Can you all hear me all right? Okay, you know, there are a few more empty seats up front, but anyways, we'll start with the roll call.
Mr. Luke?
Here.
Ms. Savage?
Here.
Ms. Powers is absent. Mr. Smith?
Here.
Ms. Devine?
Here. And then tonight, because we do not have a flag here, we're going to skip the Pledge of Allegiance. So we'll move right on to a motion to adopt our agenda for this evening.
So
motion by Ms. Savage.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Roll call.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. And now we're excited to have some, a little bit more of recognition here tonight. We have some state qualifiers, and I believe it's my understanding that Mrs. McInnes is going to help us with this recognition. So,
you've got graduation is over.
I know, but I like this. I get to shake it hands.
Okay, we just got here.
But these guys are Skills USA champions this year, and I wish we had a picture of them in their red jackets. I know your parents all have them.
I think it's on the website.
Check on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Twitter as well.
It's
so
a nice picture.
Congratulations. I mean, it was such an accomplishment. One of my most favorite things is to watch as you guys realized it was going to be you and you jumped up. It was perfect. So, congratulations. Brandon Ralston. And I believe some of them will be moving on to additional, a national competition leaving Monday, you said? Okay, and where's that going to be held?
Louisville.
Louisville, okay. All right. And I know there were a couple people who could not be here tonight that were in the HOSA regional to state and state to national, so Deidre Blankenship and Dakota Pullman. And I know that is, I was going to look that up there. Okay, yes, yeah, so HOSA was the Health Occupations Students of America. So, anyways, we congratulate them as well. So, good job.
Good job. Yeah.
And next up, we have a presentation from Edgewood Elementary. And so let me back up a little bit and thank you, Mr. Holdren, for hosting us tonight. Amidst all of this construction that you've got going on here, I'm sure it was the last thing you wanted to set up for us. But
our pleasure. It gets better with us. Attending tonight's Edgewood Elementary School Update. We appreciate you being here. Gives me a chance to brag on all the wonderful things that our teachers are doing here, so this is fantastic for us. Briefly, I'm going to go over our core goals for next year, as well as talk about a little more thing this year. And before...
She's sick.
we get started. That's fine.
Okay.
We want to say a big thank you to our community member of the year, which is Carmen Hurley and the Mental Health and Recovery Group. They've been helping us pilot this PAC programming for mental health awareness, and this has been a tremendous asset for our building, for our parents, and for our students. So we hope to continue this relationship, and she is just absolutely wonderful to our school. The first thing that we started with this year, being a new principal at Edgewood, I wanted to make sure that everyone was on the same page of what we stood for, of our vision and our mission, and how that related to the district mission and vision. So as a team of teachers, as the school, we created our four cornerstones of Edgewood. They are imagine, create, learn, and celebrate. We spent a lot of the year just going over one cornerstone, which was learn. Our teachers and our students created rubrics where they could actually walk into classrooms and ask each other. Teachers could ask teachers. Teachers could ask students how they were excelling on this rubric and what they could do to get better. So it was a good way for us to kind of gauge ourselves in terms of how we were going on with our mission and vision, as well as get our stakeholder input, our children and our teachers, to invest in that mission. Goal number one is student performance and learning. So this year, we did several different things. We created individualized learning pathways through iReady, through math and reading menus, and through Genius Hour. We also implemented for our teachers weekly TBT meetings that assess students and their reading and math goals. And we talked about them and made those mandatory for our teachers. We talked about best practices and analyzed our data so that we could really implement our instructional strategies. Yeah. Teacher-based teams. Yep. So each grade level would come together weekly with myself and the instructional coach, and we would have conversations about all of our students and where they were on their learning. Again, mentioned briefly, we did our teacher walkthroughs where a teacher created their own rubrics to provide opportunity for collaboration. It's so easy to get caught up in, as a teacher, being locked into your own room, not really knowing the pulse of the building, and we thought this was a good way for our teachers to really get activated with what everyone was doing. The teachers did a great job actually providing feedback. We were a little bit tentative about trying to implement this, but they took full control of it and really made it a year-long learning process. Our goals for 18-19 with student performance and learning, we're going to increase our data feeding processes. The district has done a great job creating these learning continua and reading math. We're going to try to implement those in our teacher-based team meetings to really further along our personalized learning for each and every student. We also talked about implementing more current events and writing practice in our younger grades, as well as in third and fourth grade. We've noticed low proficiency in our third grade writing and reading components, and we feel like if we are able to get them things they're interested in, like current events, get them these real world experiences and the ability to write about them or reflect upon them, then we will hopefully see some trend data occurring in our writing and reading. And our next big goal for 18-19 is hit that 8% proficiency in both reading and math on the state assessment. Here is a look at our three-year snapshot, 15-16, 16-17, and 17-18. The 17-18 is still raw data, so we'll take it for what it's worth. The green means that the students in this year and that grade level hit 8% or higher proficiency. So you can see in 15-16, our strongest was our third grade math. 16-17, we're gaining some momentum here. And here we are in 17-18, our fourth graders. Looks like they did an outstanding job hitting that benchmark. And again, we've got things in place for next year to increase our second grade, as well as support that third grade here seem to top out kind of low. Our school-wide reading is at 75%, and our school-wide math is at 79% when you take both third and fourth grade reading in combination. So we're right on the cusp, and I think next year we'll come really close, if not different. I know this is really hard to see, but I thought this was a good predictor of next year. We've got two reports here. This is iReady math on the left and reading on the right. What this shows you in grades 2, 3, and 4 are our teachers rated out based on level of student growth. Teachers at the end of the year have an SGM, student growth measure, where they're rated, half of their OTES is rated on how well their students achieve or perform. And this shows kind of what the data shows on our map, that we have one outstanding teacher, we've got four above-average teachers in this realm of math, and then five who rated as average. So we've already put in place some professional coaching opportunities on the radar next year for these five teachers in math to get them up to that A level. And if you look over to the right, very impressed with our reading, as it shows that we've got above-average and most effective teachers in that group. So that's an amazing move for our team. Effective use of resources. 17-18, we had PTO fundraising, and they just gave all of our teachers $500 for flexible seating, so that was a huge deal for all of our teachers to come back to next year. They provided us with PD material, and we're going to start next year at the reward room. They bought us a 50-inch flat screen TV and a couple game consoles so that our kids who are showing growth in behavioral expectations or academic expectations can spend some time in that reward room and really have some fun at school. We're going to increase our reading specialist time and expertise in the classroom. We dabbled in this a little bit this year. We're one reading specialist instead of pulling out kids who needed that additional reading support, acting more like a co-teacher and help them with grade level material in the classroom. And then we piloted two math programs in grade, ST Math and Redbird. 18-19, based on those effective uses of resources, we did a complete schedule revamp to increase and put all of our reading specialists in a grade level. Dictated our reading time at every grade level so that we can maximize our human capital. We increased our amount of student teachers. We're getting one in third grade next year, starting in fall, pending more approval, and a speech and language student teacher in both semesters. So that will be really good for our incoming kindergarten students. And we also want to increase our volunteer hours. We've adjusted times and responsibilities for not only our UA teachers, but also reworked our guidance counselor, Mr. Stackhouse, into more of a leadership and behavioral coaching role instead of a clinical kind of role. Brief outline of the schedule, not going to go through it all. We marked out 40 minutes for our UA to do clubs of student interest. So when the students come back, we'll ask them what kind of clubs they want. Their UA teachers will provide them with those clubs based on a certain amount of time. And then the other time when they're not going to clubs, the UA teachers will be assisting in small group reading instruction. Down here is where we mandated or changed our schedule so that each reading specialist is aligned to the grade level, and they will really be a part of that grade level team. So we're hoping to see some even bigger gains next year in reading based on this schedule of reading. Safe learning environment. Obviously, we completed all our required safety drills. We implemented PACS school-wide, and we implemented a new referral process this year to make behaviors more classroom managed and office managed. And with that came a total of only 98 real office referrals. So we're going to next year shift Mr. Stackhouse, our guidance counselor, into that coach lead at PACS. He's going to take that over, and we'll be working with teachers on their professional role in behavioral data. We're going to create a PBIS team with monthly meetings. One of our teachers is going through a leadership program next year, and she will be running those meetings. Our reward room, and then what we want to see out of all those things is our office referrals decrease and our parent and student surveys increase. This is our hope survey. I was pretty disappointed about this. Really, this to me would have been more of the academic data. Hope that doesn't bother anybody. But, you know, we had a couple of kids say that they couldn't find lots of ways around a problem in class. They said that they didn't make good use of time in class. And they said that one of their concerns was the teacher didn't know about line A. So we're really going to work hard as a school on making sure that those items get cleaned up just as much as we're going to work on our academic issues for next year. And finally, community partnerships. We partnered with the Mental Health and Recovery Board for PACS, which is outstanding. We had multiple visits from ECHS. They did some carnival games. They taught a few math lessons for our third and fourth grade. We absolutely love that. And then we're going to continue strengthening those partnerships for 18-19. We just talked to Crypto Studios today. They came in, and she's an artist, and she will be doing a new wall mural with our kids during our open house, the 11 open house event, where the kids get to participate in the wall mural. We are in the process of getting a little free library outside. And then PTO has dreams of having a volunteer night to increase and beautify our landscaping here at Edgewood, which is much needed. Another goal we have is to connect with two public and private sectors and create good partnerships with those and track our volunteer outputs. We have a lot of volunteers in Edgewood. We spend a lot of time here, and we really want to make sure that we're recognizing everybody who steps through the door with kind of some tiered rewards, I guess you could say, and really recognize those people who change the incentives. Welcoming 18-19. We had 8 teachers present at the Teacher Academy this summer, which I was extremely proud of. They're excited about what they do, and they were excited about sharing that with other teachers. We have 6 teachers in our building who paid every Thursday during summer so far through June to commit to half days where they're working on planning for next year, which is awesome. All teachers, before they left, created a professional reading goal for this summer. We have a couple of ongoing book studies on Schoology, and pending tonight, as long as you approve it, we will be fully staffed. And that may be the most exciting part. Are there any questions? Sorry, I tried to fly through that. I know there's a lot to do.
Can you talk a little bit about the little library?
Sure. Yeah, right up the street on the left. What is that?
Hickory.
There's a little mailbox looking thing, and it's called a little free library. And what it's used to do is to just take books that you like and you love and pass them on to the community. So there will be books that I have that I love as a kid that I'll put in the little free library, and then a child can come over to the little free library, grab a book on the honor system, take it home, read it, bring it back, put in a book they want, and just build that love of reading. We actually had our first grade teacher, Miss Betsy Troutman, approach me with the idea this year. She wrote a letter to me. She had the students write a letter to Miss Mankins, and they're extremely excited about it. So what we hope to do is get that approved, have someone from the high school come and use maybe the Fab Lab or something so that we can have the kids walk through planning and selecting materials and then watching them build. So go through the whole process. That's what the dream scenario would be. If that can't happen, I'll build it and put it out there. And hopefully it'll stay up there.
Well, just a couple times. One, you've got a plan. You know, there's some things that need to be done. There always are in every building. And you have a plan. And I get a sense that you're committed to that plan. Just, I don't know what a presentation is. I'm trying to get it done in 10 minutes. But I really felt like you were committed to the plan. And I really appreciate that. The other thing is that kind of jumped out at me. I taught to those who I taught for 40 years. And one of the things I learned fairly early was that teaching is very isolating. When I was teaching, you went in your classroom, you had 4 walls, kids came and left, you stayed pretty much all day, and you didn't get out. And so a pencil sharpener drove, that was a huge problem, because, you know, that was a fundamental part of your world. And so the personalized instruction, intelligence, activities that you've got, rubrics and so forth, I think it's absolutely wonderful. Very, very glad to see efforts made to try to, you know, create more collaborative work environment for the building rather than small wastewater areas.
Absolutely. We kind of learned this year as a staff, when we're all working and seeing those things get built, we're more invested in it together rather than pointing out what's wrong and who's to blame. So we've definitely put in our share of time trying to make that collaborative piece here and definitely do the shared leadership things where teachers can really feel empowered with the teams of their students.
One question is, there were, looked like, very few
premium to be in the classroom with them, talking to the kids more, talking to the teachers more. You know, in previous principalship experiences, I've kind of been like a teacher in the sense that once you go to your office, the kids kind of, they get disciplined, you don't leave, and that's how the things work. But I think now that principals need to be looked at as more of an instructional leader rather than a disciplinarian. You have to make time in your schedule. You have to try to find ways to free up yourself and your time to get things done and see things happen, or you'll never really know what's going on. Thank you.
Participation. Kim, can you see if I don't think anybody signed in.
Hey, Kim. Is there anybody signed up on the back thing for public participation? On that chair, did anybody sign up? Is there anybody signed in? Okay, thank you.
Okay, great. So if there's no public participation, we'll move on to the High Point Report and Mr. Chivington. Good evening.
All right. With the passing of the levy today, we were able to look at our five programs to see if we're a little excited about the future opportunities that we have with the at the end of the school year, we would give out over $11,000 to our seniors. Also, we recognize that the cost of this some good news from Marysville, of course. We have five students at the University of FFA certification and degrees, and so that was a very positive for us. Also, a number of contracts we were doing. We have, I think, about 10 one-year contracts we would do.
Excited to see the auto tech lab, turf management, and the Bunsold CBI/medical detective positions that they're working on those.
Yeah,
it's a nice kind of some new programs.
Yes, programs, yeah.
Yeah, that's good to see.
Yeah. Very exciting about the new
it's nice to see and
Dr. Smith is really a catalyst for that. He's got very clear vision. He knows what's coming. He leads the workforce. We could be more happy with him. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, superintendent's report.
Sure, I have several things. Sorry, I told Tom we would need a microphone. I didn't know it was monsoon at the time.
No, so, really.
I just wanted to go back and we've had a follow-up graduation meeting and just reviewed things that went well, things that we wanted to improve on, but overall we're pretty pleased with the outcome of the first kind of combined graduation. And certainly we received lots of positive feedback about the ceremony being completely student-led, mm-hmm. and that went really well. So, again, you know, when we trust students to do great work, they step forward. So the stadium project, I think you'll see on tonight's agenda, a donation from Richwood Bank, so we're excited to get that moving. We are working on finalizing the middle school plans. The goal would be to go out to bid end of the month or shortly into July. So that is well underway. Levy campaign, we had a meeting last week. Things are moving forward nicely. They're finalizing kind of the logo and sign design. That will be used on all the literature and yard signs and et cetera. We're still in fundraising mode for that as well. They've earmarked kind of the kickoff date to really have a larger community presence to be at the county fair. So right now meetings are every 2 weeks, the second and fourth Tuesday of the month. So that things are moving in the right direction there. I sent you preliminary scores that came out. I would remind you that those are definitely preliminary. So at this point, all of our students met the third grade reading guarantee. So whether it was through the regular testing or an alternate assessment that can be given, all of those students have done that. So summer school for CEVE is more focused on skill remediation for students who were identified. So that's going well as well. I think you saw in specifically Edgewood scores really in fourth grade across the district were phenomenal and much improved. Mill Valley would be a building to note, even though the initial data I gave you appears that they didn't make all their indicators. Once students that should report for us are withdrawn, they will be at 80% in every category, so significant improvement there. Everything is on an upward trend, so we're very pleased with that. Even though we maybe didn't make the 80% mark in some areas, we are on a positive trajectory. But the area of concern continues to be geometry. You know, that is a statewide issue, but it's not where it needs to be, so we're doing a lot of looking at that information. We'll be, as soon as the item analysis is released, we'll be studying that to see, you know, the things that we can do in class to help students respond better or whatever we're missing there. So we'll keep pushing forward on that. So geometry is still an area of concern.
Questions or comments?
What grades for geometry?
It's typically 10th grade. That doesn't mean everybody takes it in 10th grade. But it's typically a 10th grade.
You said it was a statewide issue?
I believe the state average, if I have
a think it was like 20.
Like 20% passage. But for us in geometry, we had 54% passage. So we're higher than the state average, but you know, the conversation we had as a leadership team is we're not a 54% passage. So there must be something we're missing or, you know, can refine a little bit. we know, for example, from looking at elementary data, our students are doing pretty well on the literacy reading side. We're not doing very well on the writing side. And we know if you get a certain score over here, you have to have at least a certain score on the writing. So when we're looking at that, obviously writing is where we're not doing as good a job as we need to. So I think we need to bring Tom into that tonight, that there will be a focus on writing really across the district. So it will be the same kind of information we'll be looking at when that comes out for challenge.
I know just in some of our conversations, one of the things that I found exciting is that we track all of this stuff throughout the year. And what we've been tracking is really kind of coming through. We're seeing, and the results are matching up with what our expectations are.
So we've been using Mark Gallagher as kind of our data guru. He's really by trade a school psych, but he has created a database that filters in all district assessment data, iReady data, everything that we collect on students, as well as AIR performance, and really came in plus or minus 5 standard deviation on the results. We were in the zone. So we were spot on with where we thought we'd be. And principals can look at that as students submit data points throughout the year. So they're identifying kids right off the bat, meeting in their teacher-based teams, providing interventions, and et cetera.
Good stuff. Treasury report?
Yeah, so first off, we have our annual booster/PTO best practices meeting. We'll be doing that on July 10th at 5 o'clock, where we'll have our school attorney, who's kind of an expert in the field, will be there, and we've invited all of our booster and PTO people, sent out an email, so hopefully we'll have a good attendance there. I've been really well attended the last several years.
And you'll just have that at the board office?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
And he was talking about the booster meeting beyond July 10th, and I would just, if anybody's interested in going, I've been to a couple of those, and it's just, it's a great turnout, and it's nice to hear some of that information as well, I think.
Yep.
Good stuff.
Just briefly on the stadium project, Lynette Fott and myself, we presented at the Marysville Business Association actually yesterday morning. Had some positive feedback there. We got a meeting set up with the company to discuss some basically investment opportunities for the company, so that was a positive experience. And also on the agenda tonight, as in regards to the levy, there's two resolutions to be approved, one for each levy, and what these resolutions are basically doing is authorizing the district to proceed with the levies. So these resolutions are the ones that I would take to the Board of Elections, and these are the ones that actually get the levies on the ballot. So that would kind of wrap things up in terms of getting the levies on the ballot. That's all for me.
Okay. My report, we had a work session back on June 12th, I think. Yep, June 12th, and really the purpose of that was to look over our work plan, and so I've got some notes here, and over the next couple of months, we'll work on revising that, and really, I think coming out of it, the main areas of revision are kind of focused on the fact that we have a levy coming up this year, and so we wanted to make sure that we talked about communication, and then also with the stadium project, how that relates to district needs and safety, awareness of mental health professionals, awareness of legalization of marijuana in September, safety issues with regard to school shootings and support for mental health professionals, SROs. And we talked about how we want to continue to attend different events to continue with our professional development, and that when we did those, to try and share at least one point of information with the rest of the board. So again, we'll work on getting that finished before the end of the summer. Community coffee summer schedule, there was one this past Saturday. I don't know, did you have anybody?
Yeah, Dick and I were there, and we talked to everyone.
Okay. Whether they're coming for the community coffee or not.
Everyone that walked in the door, who introduced himself to, so that's
okay.
Wonderful. But just basically talked to several people about what were the good things going on in the school district, mm-hmm. and sharing some information just really lately about, you know, Lubbock coming up, mm-hmm. In November, and, but very good interaction with the public.
That's great. And then we'll have, we've got them scheduled for July 14th and August 11th. Let's see. Reminder, next month in July, we'll do our end of year evaluations of our treasurer and superintendent. So we'll expect to get some information coming in the next few weeks. And I guess only I wanted to comment that I love these newsletters, both the Monarch Monthly that goes out on the website and this that's mailed to everybody. In fact, look at that picture right there. I think that's what we were talking about, our Skills USA team. But I just think there's a lot of great information in there. So thank you for doing that. Good job. And that's all from my report. Do you have a legislative report?
I mailed the bulk of my report to the members of the board, mm-hmm. superintendent, assistant superintendent. Did get a notice today that substitute House Bill 343 is going to be before the Senate Ways and Means Committee. I'll be contacting Ray Burke. I've already talked to him about this bill before, raised some questions as to the necessity of the changes that were suggested, and I'll be submitting testimony. I'll either present it in person or I will submit it in writing to the board in opposition to this bill. Generally, what the bill does, our district, every district in the state of Ohio, if somebody has property value that is not appraised fairly, you can challenge through a board of revisions. Typically, I think that's true, say this correctly, it's for commercial property in our district, that it is residential property. If a challenge is filed, board of revisions contacts the property owner, there's a hearing, the decision is made, and appropriately unpolitical environment. Mm-hmm. This law would require us to hold a hearing, to separately contact the property owner, duplicate what the board of revisions is doing, hold a hearing, hold a public vote on that, and I think for myself would lose it into the political arena, mm-hmm. Where it really needs to be addressed in the appropriate setting and looked at just appropriately. And the reason, if you're a taxpayer, property taxpayer in this district, if someone's not paying their fair share, then you pay more. So if a commercial property is paying less than they really ought to, that raises the taxes on all the other taxpayers in the district. And that's why we challenge the tax to try to make sure everybody pays the same amount. School levies are a fixed amount of money, so it doesn't raise the amount of money that we receive. So we'd like to be fair. That's my
point. All right. Thank you very much. And there's no safety or drug committee report. So next up on our agenda, we need a motion to approve our minutes from our May 17th regular board meeting and our June 12th special meeting.
Motion to approve
by Ms. Savage.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Any questions or comments or revisions noted? Roll call, please.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next on our agenda, I would accept a motion to approve our resolutions to proceed to levy an additional tax in excess of the 10 mil limitation. So we'll do two separate ones. Correct? Okay.
Yep.
So the first one is for the renewal of our 6.56 operating levy.
So moved.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Smith.
I'll second.
Second by Ms. Savage. Any questions or comments? Been through this before?
This is tax that it was originally passed in 1989 and has been renewed every year from that point to this. We'll say 620.
56.
56.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually being collected at.
I think it's around 2.6 right now.
2.6.
Right.
So, as property values have gone up, the village has been rolled back. We're asking this to be made continually. And I would point out all the prior 5-year levies have eventually reached a point where they have been made continually. It takes time, effort, and money to run a levy campaign, and I think this is the right and appropriate thing.
Okay. Roll call.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next up, motion to approve the resolution for the additional tax in excess of the 10 mil limitation. And so this is the one for the permanent improvement levy, the additional 2 mils to offset the 2 mil reduction in the bond. Second motion.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Savage.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Any questions or comments?
Just that this is zero tax net increase.
Right. Right.
For the district, but legalese within the documents is a little bit difficult.
Yes, I agree.
I agree. I actually had to call on our legislative aide to go through it with me. The key point is zero net decrease for taxes.
Right.
And that's...
Right. I mean, I look at it as just a more efficient use of taxpayer dollars. So, you know, we didn't need them for the bond. We can definitely use them in permanent improvement as we have more buildings and our buildings age. It's kind of a no-brainer, in my opinion. So.
And overall, both of these levies passed allow us to extend by at least 1 year any request for additional new money.
Right.
Last time was in 2008, and we're looking at pushing it out to
2022-23.
Most of the districts are asking for new money about every 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. We will be approaching 15 years between asks, and these two levies do not increase taxes.
If I can add one
part
to that.
Yeah.
Not only would we be hoping to extend that operating money, but we would also hope to use that TIF money in order to put it into operating dollars in order to purchase additional SRO for the district.
Right. That's good stuff there. Okay, roll call, please.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next, I need a motion to approve the Treasurer CFO action items.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Savage?
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Any comments, Todd?
I had a last-minute addition to the fiscal 18 appropriations. We had a couple grants that that got increased a little bit, so in order to spend that money, I had to bump up the appropriations, so that was the reason for that. And then also, you'll see the fiscal 19 appropriations in there.
Mm-hmm.
Really pretty much in line with where we were this year. The two big jumps, we had our permanent improvement fund, a significant increase there in anticipation of doing the stadium project, and then 024, which is our health insurance fund, we're anticipating that's going to increase significantly next year due to in essence, our claims have continued to be at a high level.
Okay. I did note that you have some, you've earned some nice interest here lately.
Absolutely.
So that's pretty nice. So, okay. Any other questions or comments? Okay. Roll call.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. And now motion to accept our, to approve our superintendent action items.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Savage.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Okay, Ms. Mankins.
So several new hires as we're wrapping up that season. We have a handful of spots left, so we'll be reflective of the new hires. I'd also be remiss if I didn't acknowledge Mrs. Zingman from the high school, who's been there some time and certainly a familiar face at the high school. Mm-hmm. Retiring, so excited for her.
Mm-hmm.
You also have several policy first reads as well. So as you look through those and study those, if you have questions for people on that committee or of Jonathan or I, feel free to reach out. And also, you'll see the extension of our Memorial Health agreement for athletic training. That will take us to 2027 as well.
Okay. Questions, comments?
The Memorial Health agreement provides for the signage that's behind you.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a great partnership as a coach. For a number of years, it was a godsend to have athletic training to take responsibility for assessing the injuries and so forth. And as a board member, I appreciate the fact that we have medical personnel that are making decisions in the best interest of the students. I think that's a critical part. That is a solid program, so I really appreciate that. I'd like to also comment that Joy Damon and I worked together for a lot of years. She is an amazing woman. She has been instrumental in getting a lot of our students to be able to travel overseas. Experience other countries, different cultures. She has been a stellar individual and has made a significant difference in the lives of a lot of young men.
I just wanted to add to your Memorial Health Hospital comment, as a parent of a past athlete who had more trips to the hospital than I would have liked, I also appreciated that partnership because the trainers, they did a great job, and it did make you feel good knowing that you had some real professionals working with them. And also second your comments about Joy. I can't imagine that she's not still going to be connected in some way because she loves to travel and she loves hanging around the kids.
Still
and
be helping us with the
trips. I think so too. All right. Roll call, please.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Now, do you have any questions or comments from board members before we move into the executive session?
Thank you. Thank you for hosting. Again, I'm excited to see where we are. We're excited to see where we're headed. I would like to point out and we love the final turn.
Thank you again for hosting. Congratulations on your PTO. Wonderfully supportive PTO. Kind of a little bit like coming home. My kids both went to Edgewood here, so it's been a while.
Thank you.
you for hosting and for your presentation. I really appreciated that. I'm sorry I got lost three times in about 5 minutes. It just means I need to get to this building more, which I'll take care of in the fall.
Good comment?
No.
First of all, I just want to tell you guys good luck. Yes. Right? You head out soon tomorrow, right?
Monday.
We leave for Monday.
Okay. Well, good luck.
Thank you.
Not the dead. And also, I wanted to just reiterate that Ashley, Heather, and I had the opportunity to share with the State Board of Education the great work that's happening in the school district. And it was a fantastic experience. We've had lots of great feedback, requests for visits to the school district. So just another great opportunity to be the, I guess, ambassador for the great work taking place here. So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Jump in. I've gotten a couple of emails from KnowledgeWorks that are talking about South Carolina, their commercialized learning initiative, and so forth. And I keep thinking, we kind of get one of those. I keep thinking who they turn to find out how to do this. And again, you and another Ashley went to South Carolina and met with teachers and administrators and state officials down there to help them get a start in the direction which our district is already well ahead.
Good stuff. So, congratulations, guys. We'll be rooting for you. We'll let us know what happens, okay? And thank you, Tom. So, and our kids went to Edgewood too, but so did my husband. So how's that? I got on that one. He was in the first, second grade class at Edgewood. Don't try and figure out how old that makes him. He's older than I am. Okay. Yeah. So let's see. With that, I would accept a motion to go into executive session for the purpose of ORC 121.22G number 5, which is matters required to be kept confidential by federal law or regulations or state statutes.
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Savage.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Roll call.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries, and there will be action taken when we return from executive session. Okay, thank you.